faith in the Christian life, we've seen that there's something that is absolutely essential to living the life that we're called to live. It's absolutely essential to being what we are called to be. It's something that we cannot do without in our life. And we all exercise faith throughout a day in a lot of things, the brakes of our car, and on you can go. We exercise faith every single day. But we do not exercise faith in God along the way like we should. And this, of course, is absolutely necessary. In 1 John 5, verse 5, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, or has victory. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So it is by faith that we have victory. In other words, everything does not have to line up as we would like it to line up. Everything does not have to appear as we would like it to appear in order for us to have victory. What we need for victory is faith. We've seen thus far that faith is conviction. Conviction of who, most of all, who God is. It consists of knowing the Lord. It consists of being firmly persuaded or assured of what we know. And knowledge, of course, is very important. Spiritual knowledge is very important. But just as important to spiritual knowledge is the persuasion that what we know is sure. A lot of people know something, but I don't believe they're persuaded of it as of yet. Faith includes agreement with God. Unbelief basically is disagreement with God. It's not being in full agreement with the Lord. Faith consists of seeing things that the physical eye are things that are invisible to the physical eye. We see in Hebrews 11, verse 13, that faith takes hold of that which it sees, that which it believes, that which it is persuaded of. But all that being said, faith is really more than belief. It is more than knowledge. It is more than persuasion. It is more than agreement with God. It's more than seeing the invisible. And it's more than embracing the things of God. It is really living, acting, willing to risk all, willing to risk everything based upon who God says he is. That is, I'm going to believe this. I'm going to believe what the Word of God says. I'm going to believe what God has said. If I have to risk everything, I will do so believing this. That's faith. That's faith. Faith is willing to risk. Faith is willing to place everything on the line simply based upon what God says. Faith is personal. You can't have faith for someone else, it's personal. It's personal dependence upon God. It's personal reliance upon God. It is a personal leaning upon the Lord. It is a personal trusting the Lord. It's you personally looking to the Lord. It's you personally being committed to the Lord and surrendered and yielded to His will. Again, willing to risk everything based upon what God has said. It's waiting upon the Lord. It's seeking the Lord. And it is a personal coming to the Lord. Now, the Bible teaches that there are degrees of faith. There are degrees or there are measures of faith. Notice in Book of Romans, chapter 12. Book of Romans, chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2, of course, are very, very familiar. Talks about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord, which is part of faith. It talks about not being conformed to the world, but being transformed to Christ, which again is part of faith. Which brings us to verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, which is pride, but to think soberly, that is, rationally, according. So our thinking soberly is connected to what he's about to mention. According or in accord, has God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Faith has a great impact upon our thinking. That's why in Romans 12 verse 2, he mentions the renewing of our mind. Our minds need to be renewed if we're not going to be conformed to the world and we're going to be transformed. How do we renew our mind? Faith. Faith is what changes the way we think. Again, to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure. And that word measure simply means the stature or the size of faith. So faith has degrees. And our degree of faith has a large impact upon how we think. And how we think has a huge impact upon how we live. You can't separate. You cannot separate. It's not possible to separate how you think and how you live. The two go hand in hand. And faith has a lot to do with how we think, how we perceive things. So that those four words, the measure of faith. So there are degrees of faith. The Lord speaks of this. Christ rebuked. Never did he once commend. He rebukes little faith. Now, what is little faith? Well, little faith is some faith. It's no doubt better than no faith. But it's little. It's very limited. And we have a tendency, I would put most of God's people, you could probably put them in the category of little faith. They believe God, but they have a tendency to put God in whatever box that they have created in their mind, they limit God. They would not admit to that. They would not tell you, yes, I put limits on God, but they do. That is little faith. And the Lord condemned little faith. Notice in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, he says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much so much more clothe you?" What he's been talking about is not giving so much thought to the material. And if you do that, here's what he says. Oh, you have little faith. When we worry and we fret about material things, that is little faith. There's no getting around it. Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith." In Matthew 8, verse 26, in verse, we see the disciples are in a storm. Jesus is sleeping during this time. They came to him. They awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We perish." And he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Fear is a sign of little faith. It's a sign of little faith. It is an evidence of little faith. In Matthew chapter 14, again, we're dealing with the apostles. Again, they are in a storm, and again, they cry out for the Lord to save them. But it's everything that took place up to that point. I mean, we'll all get to the point, if we're saved, where we will cry out to Him. But how much does it take for us to get to that point? And that's where our faith comes in. And we see there that He again rebukes them for little faith. In verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand, caught him, and said unto him, "That is Peter, O thou of little faith." Now, it took great faith for Peter to step out of that boat. That took great faith. But it didn't take Peter long to go from great faith to little faith. And it doesn't take us long. We can at one moment have great faith and the very next moment have almost no faith. That's the struggle that goes on within us. In Matthew 16, verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, "O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves?" So in each one of these instances, Jesus spoke to his people and he gently rebuked them for having little faith. But there are several places in the Word of God where Jesus commends great faith. Now certainly there is a difference between little faith and great faith. In Matthew chapter 8, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10, Matthew 8 verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that follow him, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And then he commends great faith again in Luke chapter 7 in verse 9. So what is great faith? Well, that which is great is that which surpasses. It's that which excels. It's that which outlasts. It's It's bigger. It's larger. So great faith is something that excels, something that surpasses whatever obstacle is in front of us. Great faith goes beyond that. Great faith doesn't even concern itself with the obstacle. It is a faith that goes beyond the difficulty. It is a faith that goes beyond the inconvenience, whatever it might be. It's a faith that goes beyond the circumstances, whatever they might be. It's a faith that goes beyond the trials. It's the faith that goes beyond the what seems to be impossibilities. And constantly put in our path is what seems to be impossibilities. And these things are testings of faith, and these things reveal our faith. God is constantly sending into our lives and allowing things to come into our lives to cause us to examine our faith and cause us to see where we are. Do we have little faith? Do we have great faith? The Bible also speaks of men who were full of faith. There in Acts chapter 6 and verse 5, when the church was to choose deacons, they were to look out for men who were full of faith. Now, obviously, if they were to look out for these men and choose these men, men who are full of faith, it's evidenced in their life. Others can see it. So there's such a thing as being full of faith, which to me would coincide with great faith. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, it talks about abounding in faith. Abounding in faith, which again would coincide with great faith. And then in Luke chapter 17, Jesus had just spoken upon the necessity of forgiveness and talked about forgiving 70 times 7. And then in verse 5, the apostles said unto the Lord, in response to what God was teaching, increase our faith. And is that not exactly what obedience is? In order for us to obey, that needs to be our prayer many times. Lord, increase my faith. Because many times it's our little faith, it's our lack of faith that keeps us from obeying. People say, yes, I know what I should do, but, and then they'll list several things that they feel give them a license not to do what they should do. It's a lack of faith. And it's at those moments when we're struggling to obey that we need to pray, Lord, increase our faith. I think of the man, again, who brought his demon-possessed son to the apostles and they could not heal him. And then the Lord comes upon the scene and the Lord asked the man, do you believe? And the man said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Lord, I do believe, but I'm having a struggle here with some unbelief as well. Help thou my unbelief, which is another way of saying increase our faith. So in the Christian life, there are degrees of faith. And as you read through the scripture, you will notice that the ones who persevered the most, the ones who went the furthest spiritually, the ones who ascended the highest spiritually, were men and women of faith.
The ones who accomplished the most spiritually were men and women of faith. And nowhere is this better illustrated than in Hebrews chapter 11. And throughout that chapter, we read two words over and over and over again, by faith. And then it mentions someone's name. By faith. And then it mentions their name and what they did. But it was by faith. A couple of times in Hebrews 11, we read the words through faith, which is the same thing. By faith, through faith. And as you read through Hebrews 11, you see that it was faith that enabled these people to live life more abundantly. It was faith that enabled these people to have victory over insurmountable odds. Faith. Faith made the difference. And faith still makes the difference. And it is, and the Christian life is a life that is to be lived by faith. And it is something that we all struggle with. Faith in unbelief. But again, as we've said many times, Hebrews chapter 2, unbelief comes from a wicked heart. Unbelief is sin. It is a sin not to have faith in God. It is a sin to have little faith. We are to have great faith. And God does all sorts of things in our life to, again, cause us to examine our faith and to increase our faith. I've heard God's people say through the years, two things you should never pray for. Never pray for humility, because the Lord might humble you. Well, that is not that the point of praying for it, that the Lord might humble you? Pride gets in the way. You pray for humility. And I've heard others say, don't pray for faith. The Lord will take things away from you, send trials into your life. Increase our faith. If you want something bad enough, it doesn't matter. What the Lord chooses to bring it about in your life. And I think there is our big problem today. Many are never praying for humility. And pride is one of the biggest obstacles to faith. It really is. But notice in closing, in Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's where joy and peace come from. In believing. In having faith. And we all know that. We that are saved, we all know by experience that when we have faith, when we are able to leave it with God and we are able to just trust God and lean upon God, we have joy and peace. No matter what else is going on, we have joy and we have peace. And everything about my nature, everything about our human nature works against that, struggles against that. Some people, myself being one, have personalities that work against it. I mean, it just works against it. But we must always struggle. We must always continue to struggle, and we must always continue to ask the Lord, increase our faith. And that is how we live the life that God has called us to live. Let's look to the Lord.